2, but now it's 1 o'clock. Katrina Young has the BBC News.
The government has made it clear there won't be a second parliamentary vote on British involvement in any military action in Syria. The Mayor of London, Boris Johnson, among others, had said there could be a new debate on the issue if significant new evidence emerged that President Assad's regime had used poison gas against its own citizens. The Prime Minister's official spokesman said the government had absolutely no plans to go back to MPs on the issue. Russia has said that a planned international peace conference on Syria will be put off for a long time, if not forever, if the United States took military action against Syria. The Foreign Minister, Sergei Lavrov, said any American strike would be a matter of regret. Teachers have broadly welcomed government plans for teenagers in England to continue studying English and maths if they fail to get at least a C grade in their GCSE exams. Pupils are currently allowed to drop both subjects at 16, regardless of whether they've reached a basic standard. Last year, more than 250,000 19-year-olds were without the qualification. The trial has begun at Manchester Crown Court of the Coronation Street actor Michael Lavelle, who's accused of raping a young girl. He's pleaded not guilty to 12 charges in total, including 5 counts of rape and 3 of indecent assault. A second actor from the programme, Bill Roach, has also appeared in court in Preston to deny a series of sexual offences. He'll stand trial next year. 16 people have been arrested at a nuclear weapons facility in Berkshire following a demonstration. They were attempting to blockade the atomic weapons establishment site in Burfield. Seamus Heaney's funeral is taking place in Dublin. The poet died unexpectedly on Friday after a short illness. Among the mourners is the Irish president Michael Higgins and the Taoiseach Enda Kenny. Seamus Heaney will be buried this evening in the village that inspired so much of his work, Ballachy, in County Derry. And the weather, it'll be a dry day with sunny spells for most areas, warm in the south and east, but there'll be further rain in northwest Scotland. And that's the BBC News and Weather. Now on Radio 3, it's time for Proms Chamber Music, live from Cadogan Hall in London. It's presented by Petroc Trelawney.
Hello and a warm welcome to the last of this season's BBC Proms Chamber Music Concerts. Today at Cadogan Hall, the focus is on a single composer born 450 years ago. John Dowland was one of the finest lutenists of his time and enjoyed an international career. In the 1580s, he was working for the British ambassador in Paris. By the start of the new century, he was at the Danish court, a much valued employee of King Christian IV at Elsinore. But it was London where Dowland's heart really lay. He had a house in Fetter Lane off Fleet Street. But despite his talent and fame across Europe, he struggled to get the recognition he felt he deserved in the English court. He was nearly 50 when he was finally taken on as one of 5 royal lutenists. Well, this afternoon, one of England's most celebrated contemporary lute players, one of our finest tenors, and a distinguished viol ensemble who have been exploring the great English consort music of the 16th and 17th centuries for nearly 30 years now. Their first set opens with 2 galliards. In a moment, a galliard for the Earl of Essex. First, the King of Denmark's galliard. Please welcome to the stage Elizabeth Kenny, Ian Bostridge, and Fretwork.
her good when she proves unkind. Are those clear fires which vanish into smoke? Must I praise the leaves where no fruit I find? Moon, where shadows do for body stand? Thou mayst be abused if thy sight be dim. Cold love is like to a written on sand, or to bubbles which on the water swim. Wilt thou me thus abuse it still, seeing that she will write thee never? If thou canst not o'ercome her, wilt thy love will be thus fruitless ever? Be thus abuse it still, seeing that she will write me never. If thou canst not o'ercome her will, thy love will be thus fruitless ever. That I might not aspire unto those high joys which she holds from me. As they are high, so high is my desire. If she this deny, what can grant it be? If she yield to that which reason is, it is reason's will that love should be just. Dear, make me happy still by granting this, or cut off delays if that die I must. Better a thousand times to die than for to live thus still tormented. Dear, but remember, Peter's, I will bar thy sight if thy torment. Are still tormented, dear, but remember it was I who for thy sake did thy content.
Exile.
Thank you.
Fantasia by John Dowland for solo flute, Farewell Fancy, a gentle struggle to overcome the grief felt after a beloved friend's departure. That grief symbolised in the music by yearning chromatic harmonies played for us by Elizabeth Kenny. Before that, Ian Bostridge, Elizabeth and Fretwork performed Flow My Tears, Lacrimae Antiquae, that piece to appropriate a modern term, Dowland's hit single, immensely popular in the 16th century. Over 100 versions and arrangements survive, and lacrimae, tears, a word that features throughout the Dowland catalogue. We'll be asking more about that of Richard Boothby a little bit later on in this concert, because tears and melancholy does seem to be something absolutely central to Dowland's music. Before the song, we heard a pair of galliards, Can She Excuse My Wrongs, or the Earl of Essex Galliard, words possibly by the Earl himself, who'd won Queen Elizabeth's heart when he first appeared at court, although he was eventually executed for treason. And we started with the King of Denmark's Galliard. Well, another Galliard now, this one dedicated to Sir John Such, who was a great patron of Dowland as well as being a friend. Dowland dedicated his third book of songs to him in 1603. Ian Bostridge will sing the Galliard, My Thoughts Are Winged With Hopes.
My thoughts are winged with hopes, my hopes with love. Mount love unto the moon in clearest night, and say, as she doth in the heavens move, in ethereal wings, and waxeth my delight, and whisper this but softly in her ears, hope of the anger head, and trust shed tears. And whisper this but softly in her ears, hope oft behind the head, and trust shed tears. And you, my thoughts, that some mistrust to carry, if for mistrust my mistress do you blame, say though you alter, yet you do not vary, as she doth change, and yet remain the same. Distrust doth enter heart, but not infect, and love is sweetest seasoned with suspect. Distrust doth enter hearts, but not infect, and love is sweetest seasoned with suspect. If she for this with clouds do mask her eyes, and make the heavens dark with her disdain, with windy sighs disperse them in the skies, or with thy tears dissolve them into rain. Thoughts, hopes, and love return to me no more, till Cynthia shine as she hath done before. Thoughts, hopes, and love return to me no more, till Cynthia shine as she hath done. Hence despair with thy torment. fright. Pity, pity, pity. Pity, pity, pity. Help now or never. Mark me not to endless pain. Mark me not to endless pain. Alas, I am condemned. Alas, I am condemned. I am condemned ever. No hope, no help, let death remain. But down, 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 down I fall. But down, 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 down I fall. Down. And arise, down and arise. I never shall, but down, 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 down I fall. But down, 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 down I fall. Down and arise. Down and arise. I never come again, sweet love doth now invite thy graces that refrain. 'Twould only due delight to see, to hear, to touch, to kiss, to die with thee again in sweetest sympathy. To see, to hear, to touch, to kiss, to die with thee again in sweetest sympathy. Come again, that I may cease to mourn through thy unkind disdain. For now left and forlorn, I sit, I sigh, I weep, I faint, I die in deadly pain and endless misery. I sit, I sigh, I weep, I faint, I die in deadly pain and endless misery. Canst not pierce her heart, for that I do approve. My sighs and tears more hot than are thy shafts. Detempt, detempt, while she for triumph laughs. My sighs and tears more hot than are thy shafts. Detempt, detempt, while she for triumph laughs.
Yeah.
Ian Bostridge and Elizabeth Kenny performing Come Again, Sweet Love Doth Now Invite, a hugely popular love song by John Dowland, to see, to hear, to touch, to die, as so often with Renaissance texts, to die has a secondary meaning, that of sexual fulfillment. Before its sorry stay, lend true repentant tears, very much loved in Dowland's life, so well known that the song was mentioned in Francis Beaumont and John Fletcher's comic satire of 1613, The Night of the Burning Pestle. Dowland had indeed arrived. Richard Boothby, founder of Fretwork, putting down his vial for just a second to tell us a bit more about John Dowland. He has to have been one of the most important songwriters of any era.
I think he's right up there with Purcell and Lennon McCartney, myself. I think he has an ability for memorable melody, simple, straightforward, yet utterly his own, which is really top quality. And we've chosen some of the most famous, most well-known songs, but there are many, many more that are in his four songbooks. And as you were saying, he was one of the most popular songwriters of his day.
And this international kind of attention that he achieved, travelling around Europe when it wasn't so easy to do so.
He made a great play of the fact that his life was all travel and that it was arduous and difficult. In the introduction to the Lacrimae, he says that he was trying to get back to Denmark, but he couldn't. The winter, the frosts and the bad winds kept him in England, so he had to write the work in England. He talks about going to Italy, and he had this difficult journey down through Italy, ending up in Florence, where he met with some Catholic English traitors who were plotting the downfall of the king, and he realized what trouble he was in and quickly skedaddled back up north.
Because he was very keen on the idea of getting court approval himself, even though he had to wait for it in this country.
Well, he moaned endlessly about it, and when he did eventually get it in 1612, he promptly stopped writing music. He lived for another 12 years after that, but there's virtually nothing from him after that. So we have to be very grateful that they never gave him the court appointments, because he may have never written any of this stuff at all.
What is it about this sense of melancholy, the lacrimae, the tears? Was he naturally a depressed person, or was it a slight affectation?
We don't really know. There are some accounts of him being really rather a jolly and friendly chap from... But this is from some years later. It could well have been just a front, just something that he affected. But he affected it extremely well, I have to say. It is, the melancholy goes all the way through, and particularly the Lacrimae and those very sad songs. There's a profundity to that melancholy, which is really plumbing the very depths, which I think there's something more than just affectation about it.
Richard, we will let you sit down once again with your vial and fellow members of Fretwork. Thank you very much indeed. We're going to hear another languorous Lacrimae setting, Lacrimae Amantis, in a moment, followed by the song I Saw My Lady Weep. Before that, to show that Dowland could raise a cheery smile when he chose, a rather jolly pavan for Mr. John Langton. In fact, Sir John Langton, member of an old Lincolnshire family, High Sheriff of that county in 1612. Ladies and gentlemen, here at the Cadogan Hall, Elizabeth Kenny, Ian Bostridge and Fretwork. Thank you.
Further
Ian Bostridge sang "I Saw My Lady Weep" here at Cadogan Hall. Well, our 450th anniversary celebrations of John Dowland's birth conclude with a set which features a final outbreak of tears in Lacrimae Triste, and Ian will sing "In Darkness Let Me Dwell," described by the Dowland expert Diana Poulton as a song which stands among the greatest ever written in the English language. The concert will end with a galliard dedicated to Sir Henry Knowle, a favourite Elizabethan courtier who was a great music lover and whose death in 1597 was universally mourned and marked by various composers. First of all, though, "If My Complaints Could Passions Move," a galliard for Captain Diggory Piper, a Cornishman who'd been granted government permission to harass Spanish shipping, but caused diplomatic incidents by instead seizing the cargoes of ships belonging to friendly nations, including Holland, Sweden, and France. He died in 1590. It's unclear whether or not Dowland wrote this before his death or as a memorial. For the last time, ladies and gentlemen, in our final Cadogan Hall chamber prom, Ian Bostridge, Elizabeth Kenny, and fretwork.
Can love be rich and yet I want? Is love my judge and yet I am condemned? Thou plenty hast, yet dost me scant. Thou made a god and yet thou power contend. Thy worth. that my soul still shall weep, still shall shall I strive with words to move when deeds receive not due regard? Shall I speak and neither please nor be freely heard? Grief, alas, the one in vain, her restless anguish must reveal. She alone my wound shall know, though she will not heal. All was added, oh, a while delayed. Our patience proving. Oh, the time's strange effects could but make, an
shall I strive with words? Sir Henry Knowles Galliard, ending this concert of music by John Dowland, born 450 years ago. Given here at Cadogan Hall by the lutenist Elizabeth Kenny, tenor Ian Bostridge, and fretwork Richard Boothby, Liam Byrne, Rieko Echeze, Asaku Murakawa, and Richard Tunnicliffe. Well, a reminder that all these Proms Chamber Concerts this year have been filmed. You'll be able to watch today's concert at the Proms website between the 3rd and 10th of September. And highlights from this series will be broadcast on BBC 4 in a special chamber music series in the new year. Keep listening to Radio 3 for more details of those broadcasts. Highlights including performances from today's concert. All the artists back on the platform now. Elizabeth Kenny, one of Europe's leading lute players, associated with some of the world's most eminent period instrument groups. She's coming back on now with Ian Bostridge, which rather suggests we're going to get an encore.
This is also the anniversary year of Benjamin Britten. So I remembered that in Gloriana he wrote some lute songs. And I don't know Gloriani very well, and I listen to it, and of course they are with harp and orchestra. But rather brilliantly, Liz has transcribed the second lute song of the Earl of Essex, who we heard from before, for lute. Thank you.
man-haunted deserts. In some man-haunted deserts, where obscure from all society, from love and hate of worldly folk, might he sleep secure. Then wake again and give God ever praise. Content with hips and horns and brambleberry. Robbie.